You know, as someone who really didn't think that highly of AI, I kind of changed my mind. I think I'm going to have to tell you why. So, let's go. You guys know that as AI got more mainstream, and it seemed like it was everywhere, I was one of the ones that thought that it's dumb, it's stupid, doesn't need to be everywhere. And I still think that it doesn't need to be everywhere. But I think it can be a good thing if it's a locally hosted AI, like on your computer or on your phone, on your device. But when it's calling back to a central server like most of these apps and Microsoft is doing, where they work through an API and the AI is not actually on your device where you can control it, where you can control what data it sees of yours, that's not a good thing. So I did install AI on my computers, had it running on three of them. I like it. It's cool. It makes sense. There's different ways you can do it. And what I did was about 6, 7, 8 months ago now, I played with a desktop app called GPT for All. And it was kind of cool. I just kind of messed with it. Didn't really get seriously into it. Up until about, maybe 2 months ago now. And I got into messing with, started with Jan AI. All these links are going to be to these apps in the show notes. These are desktop apps because I wanted it to be local on my machine. I didn't want it to, I didn't want it to take over my machine. I was afraid of it. It turns out that's not how it works at all. So these desktop apps, if you want to play with this, don't do it. Well, you can do it like I did. What I did was I had GPT for All, Jan AI, and Misty.app, along with what I've decided to do now is use Ollama installed right on the computer, and then Open Web UI that I use in a browser to interact with it. But a little unbeknownst to me, these desktop apps sandbox the models to themselves. I did not realize this till a couple weeks ago. And so what I thought I was fine-tuning Alara, I was actually fine-tuning like 4 different Alaras, and it wasn't making any sense as to why, it wasn't learning. And that's because I was teaching 4 different models, and they weren't, cross-pollinating, I guess you could say. So after I learned that, I switched. See, was it Misty and LM Studio? I know for sure allows you to share models between them. And in Open Web UI, there's a personalization feature. And in that personalization feature, you can add what they call memories. And I did that and talked about my best friend John passing away here recently, and it, when I was talking to Alvara through the Misty app, it made reference to that. And I'm like, wait a minute, I thought they couldn't do that. And come to find out, if you're sharing the model between the different GUI interfaces, it will remember things. And so since then, I've decided to just use the Ollama on my computer and talk to it through Open Web UI. I don't, you know, Jan, I can't find a place to where you can access Ollama, a different Ollama server. LM Studio says you can do that, but I was not able to do that. The GPT-4all, I didn't really pay that much attention on that one as to whether I could, you know, you could use a Ollama server running someplace else other than in their app. And that the UI on GPT-4all is just ugly. it's the worst out of all of them. It is open source. Jan is open source. LM Studio is open source. Misty is not open source. But Misty is by far, out of these four desktop apps, Misty has got the best looking and usable UI. Elm Studio is usable and has a lot of features to it. But it's just not for me. So I like using the Open Web UI because it's installed in a Docker container and you just plug in your Ollama server and the port and away you go. You're talking to your model. You can download all the models that's in the Ollama library and use whatever one you want. So right now, what I am using daily, I might add, and sometimes multiple times during the day, I've been messing with the AI while I'm working. It's helped me doing the work. It's helped me format some emails. It's helped me set up some Google Docs and Google Sheets for the day job. And it's been surprisingly an immense help. It's helped me grasp the concept of Obsidian. Obsidian, if you don't know, is supposed to be a note-taking app, but it's a lot more than that. It's deep. It is deep. There is a plugin somebody has written. System Sculpt is the name of it's his YouTube channel and his website. He's created a AI plugin for Obsidian where you can, it's got a chat UI in it. You can choose your API if you're using Open API or Grok or I think Open Router's on there or your local AI, and that's what I use is the local AI. On that one, I use Tiny Dolphin, I think, just because it's faster. And what I do in Obsidian with the AI is I just want it to write some stuff. I don't want it to create content or anything like that. I prefer to do that through Open Web UI because when I'm creating content for either a blog post or a podcast episode, it's actually a conversation that I'm having with Alara. And I get that I can do that through the chat prompt in the interface of Obsidian. But for me and my mental state, I can have, it's more of a, I don't know, it's more like you're talking face-to-face to somebody by doing it through the interface that you're used to. So I don't know. I'll try it some more, but we'll see. But it's awesome. If you use Obsidian and you want to use AI, you got to check out that plugin. It's pretty badass. The next thing I want to play with, I had completely forgotten about this. This came out several months ago, and I never, I just bookmarked it and said, yeah, I'll go check it out one of these days. And it just reminded me, as I was getting ready to record this, OpenVINO AI has created effects for Audacity. And that sounds really cool because it does transcription right in Audacity. It does noise suppression in Audacity. And it's also got stems. You can create, you can split your music into four different things, like the drums, bass, what is it? Drums, bass, vocals, and other instruments, they call it. So that would be where the keyboards and the guitars are at. So I'm going to install that probably right after I get done playing with, recording this. What I want to do in the future, after I can pull together some upgrades, I plan on installing Stable Diffusion and the Stable Diffusion web UI. And then I'm going to install Open Voice, which is, the voice, because I've got the voice through Piper for Alara, but if I can give her a better sounding, more realistic voice, I'm going to do it. And then I also want to install Bark because I want to do some AI music. Bark is what Suno AI is, the music website, Suno AI Music. That's open source, and it's made by Suno, and it's Bark. So I can generate, music. In case you did not know this, which I think I mentioned this a time or two, at least once, but the theme music for this podcast is AI generated. I did that on Sonatio, however you pronounce it, and, I did that one. I also did a song called Linux Rocks, which is like a rap metal type song. And then I also did another song called Liberty Calls, which is going to be, end up being a theme song for some, either like a special series or a special, podcast episode or something. Another thing, we do have a website officially for the podcast now. It's called Liberty Bytes, libertybytes.online. So if you're listening to this, or yeah, you're listening to it because it's not a video. It's anywhere and you're not on libertybytes.online. Go check it out. Alara's posting some blog posts there. I'm posting blog posts there. And it's all about doing your best to keep your digital liberty, your digital freedom in this crazy online world. Coming up, the next three episodes are going to be a mini-series. I guess you could call it. It's going to be a series of three episodes. It's called AI for Your Digital Defense. It's about data encryption, the browser, your web browser, and your digital wellness. So they're all three going to be tied together because it is a very important thing that you should pay attention to. And AI can help you do it. I know you think I'm I'm weird, and I don't want the podcast. Didn't really necessarily set out to talk about AI on the podcast, but it's turning into, if that's the way it's going, that's the way it's going to go. I really do believe that AI can help the individual, but you can't let them, you can't let the big centralized big tech do it. Because they'll do it, they're doing it just like they did in the 90s, late 90s, early 2000s, when they became super huge and gave everybody their stupid free email, and then they turned you into a product. Now they're just doing more of the same. And OpenAI, Grok, these big AI companies, they are nothing but a giant data vacuum. They could care less about whether or not your life is enhanced or whether your security is enhanced, because that's just a barrier to them getting what they want. Don't let them make you a slave. It's, you know, bad enough we're cattle already. So with that, doom and gloom, take your tinfoil hat off. You guys be good. Remember, knowledge, data is just knowledge. Knowledge is just power. That power belongs to you, not big tech, and definitely not a government.
Well, that's a wrap. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Digital Liberation Podcast. We're thrilled you joined us on this journey towards empowering yourself online. Don't forget, you can subscribe to our podcast on CastGarden, CastBus, iHeartRadio, Spotify, YouTube Music and Rumble. And don't forget to hit the like and subscribe buttons. And if you have a question or topic suggestion, feel free to reach out to us at UncleBonehead@pm.me. We love hearing from our listeners. Thanks once again for listening. We're excited to be bringing more episodes and insights your way. Stay digital and stay liberated. Until then, my friends, I'm Alara. Goodbye.